Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Talk Live, Journeys into Mind, Heart, and Soul. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, inviting you to come on the journey, join in the quest. Spirit Talk Alive is our monthly forum for exploring the great questions of existence, for joining in the quest to find meaning and worth in life through intellectual inquiry and sacred spirit. It is a worldwide conversation for spiritual seekers and rational empiricists, for people of all religions and of no religion, of all faiths and of no faith, because here on Spirit Talk Live, everything is sacred and nothing is sacred. Well, welcome to this month's edition of Spirit Talk Live. I'm very grateful that you are here, and we're very glad to have you with us. Before I introduce our guest, let me remind you of my newest book, Radical Loving, One God, One World, One People, published by Monkfish Publishing. It is a compelling appraisal of the state of our current day world and a bold, visionary, spirit-filled blueprint for its transformation and evolution through radical loving and awesome holiness, a call to oneness, a promise that Earth can be Eden once again. It is available wherever books are sold and Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. And you can find out more about the book by going to the web, www.radicallovingbook.com. This is a very important book for this moment in our history, and it feels like it's becoming more and more important as the political scene in America and in the world unfolds and plays out. And so I ask you to take a look at this book and give me some feedback, tell me what you think. And let's begin a conversation about it. Radical loving, one God, one world, one people. Well. I am telling you that I am so honored, so privileged, so pleased to have today as our guest and my old friend and colleague, Rabbi Diane Elliott, who is a spiritual guide, an energy healer, a poet. And she has come to Spirit Talk Live today to talk about two things. First of all, the magnum opus book of her late, much lamented and beloved husband, Rabbi Bert Jacobson, a book called Living in the Presence, A Personal Quest for the Baal Shem Tov, recently published. It is a 600-page-plus book, published by Monkfish Publishing, the same publisher as my Radical Loving, and also publishes our friend Rabbi Tirza Firestone and our friend Rabbi Rami Shapiro. Monkfish is a wonderful, wonderful spiritual publisher, Paul Cohn and John Sweeney, the driving forces at that publishing house. So we'll tell you the story about Rabbi Bert's a book and how what Monkfish did to put it in his hands before he sadly left the world. And Rabbi Diane is also here to talk to us about her own new book called Traces, Poems, Prayers, Torah. She is a magnificent poet, and this is her, I believe, her third book of poetry. And she comes to us from the Bay Area where she lives. She's a dancer, an actor, a somatic movement therapist, a ritual leader, and she teaches and she leads retreats on embodying Jewish learning and spiritual practices. So from her home and offices in the Bay Area in Northern California, it is a great pleasure to welcome to Spirit Talk Live, my student, my teacher, Rabbi Diane Elliott. Rabbi Elliott, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Rabbi Dostik. It's so great to be here with you today.
I will tell our audience that at one time you were my student when you were in rabbinical school and you mentored and interned with us at the Elijah Minyan. And this is one of those cases, a very happy case, where the student has far, far exceeded the teacher. You brought to the rabbinate your own tremendous skills and love and sensitivities and your lifelong learning, and you've enhanced the rabbinate so incredibly much in the close to 20 years now, 19 years, where you have been ordained. And so it is a great pleasure when the teacher can see the student excelling him. So I'm thrilled. And I'm humbled by having played a small part in your rabbinic journey.
Oh, thank you. I wouldn't say exceeded, but I have definitely sort of branched out in directions that have been, I laid the foundation by many years of other kinds of work, movement work, spiritual work, performance, and body work. And so I really always thank you for seeing me and helping create that support and container for me to move into this current role of rabbi, ritual leader, spiritual director, which is really the culmination of my life's work. So thank you so much.
Well, you will be here in San Diego in February leading services for us and talking about this book. So anybody in the San Diego area who would like to know more about the Shabbaton with Rabbi Diane Elliott, please be in touch. So, Rabbi Elliott, first, who is? I tried to summarize a little bit, but you tell us, who is Rabbi Diane Elliott?
Oh, who is Rabbi Diane Elliott?
Yeah, that's the first question.
That's a good question. You know, I've kind of spent my life on that one, trying to figure that out. You know, as I said recently in my Yom Kippur talk that I gave for Kehila Community Synagogue this year in Oakland, I'm a child of the 1940s and 50s. So I was born at the end of the decade of the 1940s. And as we all know, that was a horrible decade, World War II and the Holocaust. And I think that even though I was born after the end of the war, my dad served in the war in Italy and saw the concentration camps in Europe before he came home. And I feel like that experience was somehow infused into my cellular being, and it really has guided me into a healing path. So I see just about everything I've done in my life as healing work and the attempt to bring wholeness to my own being and also to offer spaces where people can reclaim the fractured parts of themselves that have gotten split off somehow by our troubled world and by our education, and to knit and sew those parts of themselves back together, including in this most recent phase of my work, to do that specifically within the Jewish community, which, as we know, is a very traumatized community, and perhaps even more so now than at any time in my life, in our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, your late husband, Rabbi Bert Jacobson, actually, I knew him far longer than I know you, was a brilliant rabbi and spiritual guide and spiritual director, and he worked for his entire lifetime on a book about the Baal Shem Tov, and we'll find out who the Baal Shem Tov was in just a minute. And it looked like he was not going to live to see the publication of this book, and I want to give a great, great, as the kids say, shout out, a debt of gratitude to our good friends at Monkfish Publishing, because they took the book, they fast tracked it, but when they realized that Rabbi Birch would not live long enough to see the publication, they made one copy of the book, one copy, so that he could hold it in his hands, his life's work, before he went to, before he left this world and went to the other side. And so, first of all, great gratitude to Paul Cohn and John Sweeney at Monkfish. So tell us a little bit about who was Rabbi Burt Jacobson, your beloved husband.
Well, Rabbi Burt was one of the founders of the Jewish Renewal Movement in this country. He grew up, he was born in Cleveland, grew up actually from the age of 10 on. His family moved down to San Antonio, Texas, and they were a pretty secular family, second-generation Americans. The grandparents had all emigrated from Europe, and they pretty much left their Judaism and their religiosity behind in the old country. They just wanted to be Americans. That wasn't unusual for that generation. But Bert was a really sensitive child. He had health issues as a young child, which, again, is not so unusual when there's a lot of the legacy of the past has been pushed away. It sort of wells up in the bodies of the next generation, and that was true for Bert. He had a lot of asthma issues when he was young, so trouble breathing, kind of trouble being on the planet in his body. He was born in 1936, and even though his family was not a religious family, he had that spark in him as a young child. And so he kind of insisted on being taken to synagogue, to religious school. He became a bar mitzvah. He really loved his teacher as a young person, his teacher, Melton Ben Diener, at the synagogue in San Antonio. And following in the footsteps of his teacher, he decided to go to rabbinical school. And he went to the seminary in New York City, Jewish Theological Seminary. He really struggled there. He was not a brilliant student, actually. He was dyslexic, and he struggled with the Hebrew, and he struggled with all the textual learning that they had to do with ancient texts and Hebrew, and somehow made it through. And he always had this original mind. He tried to do original work. He wanted to do a thesis and write papers, and his professors discouraged him from doing that. They said, "We're not interested in that. We just want you to learn these texts, and that's what you're here to do, be an academic." And he really yearned for a deep spiritual connection that was not present in his learning. And so upon leaving school, he became a kind of a renegade along with some of his other age cohort. He got into doing some psychedelic drugs, which was big in the 1960s. A lot of people were doing that, and he was a little bit older, but that opened up a different state of consciousness for him and his colleagues. They founded an alternative rabbinic seminary, which actually turned into a kind of the first Havurah in Boston, Havurat Shalom. And then he left the East Coast to come out to California and was actually considering leaving Judaism altogether. He was so disillusioned with not having found the kind of communal spiritual depth that his soul wanted. And when he got out to California and explored various ways of communal living, teaching in alternative schools, but the West Coast Jewish Renewal Movement was just getting started, being seeded by Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi with a group called the Aquarian Minyan in Berkeley, California. And Bert discovered that group. He was kind of putting his feelers out for where he could root spiritually, where he could put down roots. And he joined the Minyan and served as a spiritual leader there for about 5 years, and then founded his own synagogue, Kehillah Community Synagogue, which is now in Piedmont, California. because he had a vision of connecting and interweaving spiritual presence, religiosity, learning with activism. He wanted to create a place where spiritual activists got involved in the anti-nuclear movement and created a synagogue for people who really didn't have a home anywhere else. And at the same time, a Jewish home, I should say. They didn't feel comfortable in the synagogues that were available at that time. And at the same time, he was also himself as a poet and a liturgist. He was revising and rewriting the liturgy, the Hebrew liturgy and the translations, to make it possible for people with a wide range of beliefs to join together, to come together and not feel excluded and pushed away by the male patriarchal language of the traditional liturgy. And at that same time, he was beginning, I would say, probably in his mid-40s was when he really began to focus on the Baal Shem Tov, to do that research and to feel that this was his Rebbe, this was the spiritual teacher that he'd been looking for and that he could steep himself in those teachings. And so for the last probably 40 years of his life, he was focused on researching and developing practices and teaching the work of the Baal Shem Tov.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that was influential in his life, in his seminary days, as he came under the influence of our great teacher, the modern mystic Rabbi Dr. Abraham Joshua Heschel, and Rabbi Heschel's daughter, Susanna, a magnificent professor herself, currently at Dartmouth, wrote the foreword to this book, knowing how much her father cherished Bert as his student. And she writes in the foreword that my father used to say that what is most important, the most important word that represents Judaism, is compassion. And certainly Bert was one of the most compassionate, caring, kind rabbis that we all know.
Yes, he had, you know, experienced a lot of tribulation in his young life. And growing up in San Antonio, he experienced a lot of anti-Semitism and mocking. And so he was extremely sensitized to people who felt outside, who felt like they were outsiders and they were rejected, and created, when he founded Kehillah, his first name for the synagogue was the Synagogue Without Walls, and it really was a welcoming place for people of all stripes of belief, Jews, non-Jews, people who had converted to Judaism, interfaith families, and people of all genders and sexual orientations. So he really opened that space. And then his work with the Baal Shem was focused on cultivating a culture of acceptance, kindness, openness, loving kindness. Yes, that's so true.
So he saw, when we come back from the break in just a few minutes, we'll find out who the Baal Shem Tov was. But meanwhile, we would say that part of the teachings of the Baal Shem was to overcome the evil inclination within each one of us. And I think that Rabbi Bert saw that, and that's one of the reasons why he was so passionate and fiery for social justice.
Yeah. Well, we can talk more about this. But, you know, eventually he came to understand that for the Baal Shem, even the evil inclination in each person is part of the divine.
Right. Well, that's just the first part of the teaching of the Baal Shem, and we'll talk more about that. But certainly the major teaching, I think, of the Baal Shem was, as we say in Hebrew, Malo Kol Haaretz Kavodo, the whole world is full of God's glory, that each one of us can have a deep, personal, intimate, loving relationship with God, And that's actually our goal in life, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. I am here with Rabbi Diane Elliott. She's here talking about her late and great, much lamented and beloved husband, Rabbi Bert Jacobson, whose book, Living in the Presence, A Personal Quest for the Baal Shem, has recently been published by Monkfish Publishing. And when we come back, we've asked her, who is Diane Elliott, who is Bert Jacobson, and when we come back from these messages, we'll ask her, who is the Baal Shem Tov? This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, along with Rabbi Diane Elliott, inviting you, as always, to come on the journey, join in the quest.
Sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
Save the Animals Today offers a respectable retirement and end-of-life experience for all the horses that have been abandoned as they age. Not a day goes by that people don't call Save the Animals Today looking for a place for their horses. Patty and the folks at Save the Animals Today do their best to bring as many horses as they possibly can to beautiful Dudette Ranch to love them and care for them. Dudette Ranch is a special place. Horses and other farm animals enjoy the peaceful sanctuary of the lovely hills north of San Diego. Volunteers of all ages come to interact with and take care of these wonderful creatures. Older folks who had horses when they were growing up and now have some free time especially enjoy helping around the barn with animals who want the extra attention. Save the Animals Today would like to provide shelter for every farm animal who needs rescue. Right now, there's a waiting list. Dudette Ranch needs your help. The horses need your help. You can help these magnificent animals by making a tax-deductible donation to Save the Animals Today. $25 will make a difference, and $25 a month will mean another older horse will enjoy its older years, loved and cared for. If you want to help even more, visit the website at www.savetheanimalstoday.org.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, and I'm here with Rabbi Diane Elliott, spiritual guide, energy healer, poet, somatic healer, movement therapist, spiritual director. She does it all. She does it all from the Bay Area where she lives. And we're here talking about the magnum opus of her late husband, Rabbi Bert Jacobson, Living in the Presence, A Personal Quest for the Baal Shem Tov, and published by Monkfish Publishing. I'm happy to say my own publisher as well as our colleagues, Rabbi Tirza Firestone and Rabbi Rami Shapiro, and others. So we ask in the first segment, who is Rabbi Diane Elliott? We ask, who is Rabbi Bert Jacobson? And now we're asking Rabbi Elliott, who was the Baal Shem Tov who took up the 40 years of your late husband's life in the quest for the Baal Shem?
Who was the Baal Shem Tov? Well, that was certainly one of the questions that Bert was asking all that time, because Baal Shem is a great spiritual teacher who lived in the 18th century in Poland, or what is now Ukraine, and was shrouded in mystery, really. it was very challenging. Scholars sought to find out who the Baal Shem Tov was. His teachings, many of them were not really translated. And people knew very little about the origins of the Hasidic movement. He was the root, the originator of what became the contemporary Hasidic movement, which was a really radical movement of reformation of Jewish life in the 18th century, in 18th century Poland. I thought I would just read a little bit from the introduction of the book, which is actually a quote from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. Rabbi Heschel was Bert's teacher at the Jewish Theological Seminary when he was a rabbinical student in New York City in the 1960s. But as Bert says in the book, Rabbi Heschel, although Bert later learned how deeply influenced Abraham Joshua Heschel was by the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal Shem Tov's teachings, at the time that Bert was a student, Rabbi Heschel never taught or spoke about the Baal Shem. And it was only later, after Rabbi Heschel had died, and Bert picked up his last book that he wrote called A Passion for Truth, which Bert found on a bookshelf in a bookstore in San Francisco in the late 1960s. And the first 80 pages of the book are devoted to a description of who the Baal Shem Tov was, a shaman, a mystic, a miracle worker, many legends written about him, transformer of Jewish life. And this is a little quote from the book that really piqued Bert's interest and led him to devote himself over, gradually he got deeper and deeper into study of who the Baal Shem Tov was, why he might have been become such a great and radical transformer of Jewish life, and what his teachings were. Rabbi Heschel wrote in that book, quote, "He who really wants to be uplifted by communing with a great person, whom he can love without reservation, who can enrich his thought and imagination without end, that person can meditate about the life and being of the best, or the Baal Shem Tov." The best is an affectionate contraction of Baal Shem Tov. "There has been no one like him in the last 1,000 years. So that's astounding. And, of course, Bert wanted to know, who was this person? Who was this person who taught that the way to serve the divine was not through self-flagellation and guilt and shame and excoriation and asceticism, which was actually the norm? That's what was being taught in the Baal Shem's lifetime. In Poland, the Jewish population there was extremely dispirited. 50 years or so before the Baal Shem's birth in 1700, there had been the initiation of a horrible series of pogroms in Poland and what became Ukraine. And thousands of people were slaughtered in Jewish communities. What had been actually a rather welcoming culture in Poland for Jews became deadly, and communities were destroyed, and people were dispirited, depressed, and the preachers who arose at that time were teaching that people should blame themselves for what had happened, and they weren't religious enough, and they weren't spiritual enough, and fiery preachers were going around the countryside telling people how bad they were. And the Baal Shem, when the Baal Shem started to teach, he was about 36. He had been immersed in deep spiritual practice himself, kind of a hermit. For the legends go, he spent 7 years in the Carpathian Mountains apprenticing, studying the language of birds and trees and communing with the divine. And finally he got the message that he was to emerge as a teacher and a healer and a shaman and in a kind of a savior for his people. And he began to teach that one can serve God in love and with joy and with dance and with singing, and that the service of the heart and the open heart was more important than being a learned scholar. And this this teaching really reached out to Bert and grabbed his soul. And he began to wonder, how did this person get to be who he became? He wasn't living in a time that didn't support that. How did he emerge as a healer, a teacher of love and compassion and joy in such a dark time?
The Bao Shen came into a world of deep religious observance and deep scholarship, where it was only for the learned and the wise to deal with text and to deal with the synagogue and synagogue honors and things of that sort. The Bao Shem took a much different position and brought Judaism and religious observance and learning to the masses. How did he do that? Why did he do that?
Yeah, you could say it was a kind of democratization of Jewish spirituality, and really took it upon himself to be a healer of the people. He became known as a Baal Shem, so that was kind of a generic title for a shaman healer person who would go around the countryside helping people. And the legends, actually, Hasidism first became known to the Western world in the mid-20th century, or the early 20th century, actually, when Martin Buber, who was another great teacher of Judaism, of Jewish spirituality, and was one of the inspirations for Bert as well. Martin Buber had collected the tales of the Hasidim, that was stories and legends about the life of the Baal Shem Tov and the lives of his disciples and their teachings. And it's an amazing work, actually a two-volume work originally of teaching stories. And in those legends of the Baal Shem Tov, he's just presented as this loving, kind, amazing person who's already doing everything he can to help people and to raise the spirits of the folk and tell people that you could just be a simple Yid, a simple Jew, and serve God with love, and you could serve in everything that you did. You didn't have to be learned. You could make unifications in the divine presence just by being a shoemaker and being conscious of connecting with God and every stitch you took on the soul. And so Bert thought the process by which the Baal Shem Tov had become who he was, we can talk about that in a moment. It was a very original approach.
And when we come back, we'll talk about that original approach and how Rabbi Bert Jacobson wove his own life into the spiritual teachings of the Baal Shem and what those spiritual teachings meant for Rabbi Bert's own life. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick with Rabbi Diane Elliott. We'll be back after these messages, as always, inviting you to come on the journey, join in the quest.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
In 1972, Sur La Table opened in Seattle, selling hard-to-find kitchen items, and now they have 55 stores nationwide, offering kitchen tools from around the world to prepare any cuisine. Sur La Table has a full range of houseware and kitchen products, even books and food. Visit a Sur La Table store, or better yet, for faster service, go to thehealthylife.net's advertiser page and click on Sur La Table. With the best products, gift cards, and sale items, you can be on your way to being a first-class cook right now.
Do you wonder what is happening in our world?
Do you wonder what the forces of the universe are doing to us? Is your life affected by the ebb and flow of events over which you seem to have little control? The answers to these questions and more can be found in the internet publication Cosmic Times, Spiritual News You Can Use, a bi-monthly channel transmission from Ellen Kaufman Dossick. Since 1994, the Cosmic Times has offered detailed information about what is happening energetically in our cosmos and how we can best support the emerging consciousness within ourselves and our world. Many people feel like the Cosmic Times keeps them sane in a seemingly crazy world, lifts their vibrations, and supports their continuing growth and expansion. You can subscribe to the Cosmic Times by going to the website www.soulmemorydiscovery.com. Join the thousands who benefit from the wisdom and insights in the Cosmic Times and receive spiritual news you can use. www.soulmemorydiscovery.com.
Information, entertainment, worldwide. HealthyLife.net.
This is Spirit Talk Guy. Hey, I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. I know who I am. There we are. I'm forgetting. And I'm here with Rabbi Diane Elliott, a magnificent spokesperson for her late husband, Rabbi Bert Jacobson. The subtitle of the book is A Personal Quest for the Baal Shem Tov. And I have to say, I was privileged to read some chapters along the way and, now and then edit something for Rabbi Bert. So I knew what was coming. But people who have read the book for the first time or looking at the book for the first time, they are stunned at how vulnerable Rabbi Bert is in this book about his own life and his own struggles and his own quest and his own spiritual journey, which he links deeply with his quest for the Baal Shem. So tell us a little bit about Rabbi Bert's spiritual quest and how he saw it, his spiritual journey, and how he saw it inextricably linked with what he learned about the Baal Shem. Rabbi Diane Elliott.
Such a great question. I thought I would actually read a little bit from the book about that. There's a section in one of the chapters that Bert titled Essential Questions. What was he curious about? And he says that the question that gnawed at my soul was different from the factually based questions pursued by historians. How might the life and teachings of the Baal Shem offer me a loving and joyous path to God, anchored in my ancestral religion? Because obviously, like many of us, he'd grown up in a Judaism that didn't offer him a loving and joyous path to God. So, and he was primed to be seeking that. But he asked other questions as well. And again, I quote from the book, who had this powerful teacher been historically? How did he come to such a radical vision of the world and of Judaism? What could he teach me about Judaism that would be spiritually and morally relevant to my life? How might his vision and wisdom help in the current renewal of Jewish spirituality? In what ways do his spiritual insights relate to those of Eastern spiritualities? Because he was interested in comparing, Bert was interested in comparing and contrasting the Baal Shem's approach with all the other great world wisdom traditions that he'd been exposed to. Continuing the quote here, are there spiritual practices I can learn from him, from the Baal Shem, that might aid me in transforming my life? Does the best path offer healing modalities for the kind of traumas that I underwent growing up? And I think that last question is really a key to what you brought up, Rabbi Dossick, about how Bert eventually in this book interwove his own developmental and life journey as a person, as a Jew, as a spiritual leader with the Baal Shem's teachings. He came to understand through his lens that the Baal Shem didn't emerge full-blown as this loving, compassionate spiritual teacher, but that the Baal Shem had undergone his own developmental process, coming from a very broken childhood. His mother disappeared. His father died when he was very young. He was kind of thrust into upon the community who raised him. He had some mentors and teachers, but he kind of was reputed to have been a wild child, kind of leaving school and running through the woods. And I think Bert really connected to that traumatized young child who eventually connected with the Baal Shem, connected with a spiritual guide, an inner guide, not somebody who was in body, but his own prophetic inner guide. And I think Bert needed that. He related to that in his own life, having had to be the source of his own guidance. And so in this book, he interwove his own developmental journey, his exploration of multiple spiritual paths, with his deepening understanding and his intuitive projection of who this person might have been to become such a great and transformative spiritual leader. And then he integrated those teachings into his own life and developed practices for himself that deepened his own spiritual life. He distilled the core principles of the Baal Shem's teaching. So he wasn't just an academic scholar. He was actually a disciple of the Rebbe. He saw himself as a chassid, a disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. And he learned in that spirit, in that vein. He approached the teachings.
Mm-hmm. And he was magnificent in what he did. And he was also what we call a spiritual director, your husband, Rabbi Bert Jacobson. And unless you live in our world, maybe some folks who are listening to the program here don't know what a spiritual director is or does. So could you tell us a little bit about that? And you yourself are a spiritual director. So
yes. So it's a couple of streams of tradition coming together in this discipline of spiritual direction, because there is a Hasidic tradition. We call it in Hebrew hashpa'a, and it comes from a verb which means to channel the flow, the divine flow. So a spiritual director is someone who sits one-on-one with people in the Jewish tradition and helps them channel the flow of divinity to understand how the divine is working in their own lives. But when, at the time that Bert was kind of coming of age as a leader and a teacher and studying the work of the Baal Shem Tov, there were no Jewish spiritual directors, and there was no way to study to become a Jewish spiritual director. That tradition of guidance from the Rebbe, from the teacher, from the tzaddik, from the holy person, or the person who was maybe a few steps ahead of you on the spiritual path, that had been cut off by the Holocaust. All the great teachers of Hasidut, most of them, except for a few who made it out, including Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi, and Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach, who brought the traditions of the Hasidic world to the United States. They made it out of World War II. Most did not. So that tradition of spiritual direction had been truncated, and Bert sought a place to train as a spiritual director, which is a discipline of deep listening and companionship, spiritual companionship and listening, to allow someone to tap into their own connection with the divine. And he trained at the Mercy Center in Burlingame, because spiritual direction in this country was a Catholic Christian discipline. And he brought a Jewish perspective into the training program at Mercy Center in Burlingame, and continued to work for years with those teachers. In fact, his spiritual director and my spiritual director, the same person, is a former nun, and is a wonderful spiritual director. And Bert and others now have brought that discipline and that kind of practice into Judaism, and there are several Jewish training programs now for.
Yeah, we used to call it pastoral counseling or yechidus, one-on-one talk. But this spiritual direction has just opened up an entire new world to people who are seeking God. And there are many, many places to seek God, as we know. Sometimes in the synagogue, sometimes at the ocean or out top of a mountain or out in the fields, and sometimes on a one-on-one discussion with somebody who is trained to help bring God into someone's life. We'll be back with Rabbi Diane Elliott for our final segment to talk about her own new book called Traces, poems, prayers, Torah after these messages. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dussek. This is Spirit Talk Live. We'll be right back.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Rabbi Dr. Wayne Dossick is the award-winning author of 8 best-selling books. Living Judaism, The Complete Guide to Jewish Belief, Tradition, and Practice, is now a classic, used in synagogues, churches, seminaries, and universities throughout the country as the basic introduction to Judaism text, and in homes as the perfect one-volume reference to Jewish faith and observance. 20-Minute Kabbalah, co-written with his wife Ellen Kaufman Dossick, uses Tree of Life mysticism to offer a daily personal spiritual practice that brings you to God, your soul knowing, and your heart's desires. The accompanying audio CD, angelically sung by cantor Kathy Robbins, guides you through all the sweet and holy chants. These and other fine books by Rabbi Dossick, including When Life Hurts and Soul Judaism, are available at Amazon.com. For more information about Indigo Children, visit the website www.soulbysoul.com. And for more information about Kabbalah, visit the website www.20minutekabbalah.com. Let Wayne Dossick's books expand your knowledge and enrich your life.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
For our last and final segment on the it seems like we could go on for hours and hours. If the next hosts on HealthyLife.net don't want to do their shows today, we can go on for hours here. We're having a great time. I'm here with Rabbi Diane Elliott, who is talking about her late husband's magnum opus, Living in the Presence, A Personal Quest for the Baal Shem Tov. I mentioned that it's available on Amazon, but it is also available, Rabbi Diane, where other places the book's available?
You can order it if you go to the website for Afikomen, which is A-F-I-K-O-M-E-N, and then from there you can click onto their page on bookshop.org, which is an online book sales site where you can buy books from independent booksellers, and it supports local independent booksellers. So Afikomen, bookshop.org.
Afikomen is the Jewish bookstore in Oakland. Everybody supported. Great store. So, your own book, Traces, Poems, Prayers, Torah. Once again, in full disclosure, I am acknowledged in this book. My wife, Ellen Kaufman Dossick, is acknowledged in this book. Very kind of you to do so. And a couple of the sermons that you gave here with the Elijah Minyan when you were interning with us during your rabbinical school days, High Holiday sermons, are in this book as well. But this book goes back all the way to poems that you wrote in the mid-70s when you were living in New York, and then poems throughout your life, and culminating in some of the more recent poems. And this is your third book of poetry. So talk to us a little bit about this book. It's published by More Books, M-O-R-E, Books. And where can people get it to start?
Yeah, actually this is my fourth book of poetry.
Sorry.
And both in this book and in the previous book, which is called The Voice is Movement, I did include a selection of some of my older poems that I'd written when I was living in New York and dancing in New York in the 1970s, which had never been published anywhere. And I looked back at them and I thought, okay, well, some of these could be shared. They do reveal the struggle of a young person in that time, maybe not so different from the struggles of some young people now. So this book traces, it's actually published by HaKodesh Press, which is a division of More Books, which is a European publishing house. You can also get it on Amazon or at morebooks.de. The title traces, speaks to kind of going back to the past, and I actually would have liked to call the book Rishimu, which is a Hebrew word that means traces. It actually means the revelatory trace of the divine who created this world and then sort of withdrew from the world. This is Lurianic Kabbalah, the Kabbalistic creation story. The divine had to withdraw from the world in order to create space for something new to be created, but left behind traces of itself, of divinity in creation. And so when I was thinking about this book, I thought, well, each one of us leaves traces of our lives. As I'm moving into my older years, I'm focused on those traces and kind of the legacy and what do we leave behind.
I've always translated that word as impressions, meaning that you know, you could see anthropomorphically the footsteps of God or the finger of God, who leaves a little impression that we can follow like breadcrumbs into the forest. But I love your definition of traces. Beautiful. Okay, so let's hear some Rabbi Diane Elliott poetry.
Well, I thought I would read the poem that is called the prologue in this book. And it begins, I write because. I write because tears are not enough. I write because I can't stop writing, because I can't not write, because a hand moving across a page or two hands fluttering over a keyboard are at least some kind of movement, some kind of taking up space in the world. I write because sometimes it's easier than talking, because yes, sometimes I just need to get it out with no face before me, no one responding, sitting there and thinking their own thoughts and waiting their turn to interrupt my belly flow with some completely other scenario, ripping or tipping me away from that inner underground river waiting to burst forth from my own cells. I write because this life is too big and too complicated to just keep quiet about, to hunker down in stillness in fear-filled bunkers waiting for the next explosion, the cannon mortars, the assault, the falling bodies, waiting for the next strike, the one that will annihilate this questing, longing, breathing being. I write because of the long and short of it, the blessing and the curse, the unavoidable choice, the not knowing and the undoing. I write because the truth is medicine, and I need healing now. We all need so much healing. And I write because the cause demands it. Be cause. Be the cause, the catalyst, the small flame that lights the greater one, the source of something worthwhile, a drop in the bucketful of many, many drops, until together we are a flood of tears, of rain, of fresh water, of plenty, of delight, of love, a flood of living, a bucketful of compassion. I write to leave a trace of what this heart once thought.
Beautiful, beautiful, and so elegant, so elegant. I was once asked by an interviewer, Rabbi, why do you write? And I know it's a smart-ass answer, but I just looked at her and I said, why do you breathe? We writers know what I meant, right? But you did it much more elegantly. It's beautiful. Rabbi Diane Elliott, oh, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for telling us about your magnificent and beloved and much lamented late husband, Rabbi Bert Jacobson of blessed memory, living in the presence, a personal quest for the Baal Shem Tov, and your own book, Traces, Poems, Prayers, Torah. We are honored, honored, honored to have you here today, and thrilled that you have been with us. Dear friends, we also thank the good people at HealthyLife.net, Linda McKenzie, the visionary founder, and Jay Cruz, our extraordinary producer, who put us on the air and keep us on the air, and Doc Collins, our magnificent musician, who plays our theme song each and every month. Next month, January 15th, it's early in the month because there are five Wednesdays in the month, Here There Is No Why, Rabbi Philip Grobart returns to Spirit Talk Live to discuss his newest book, Here There Is No Why, a mystery thriller set in Jerusalem. He crafts unforgettable characters whose lives, you know, every once in a while you read a book and you'd say, I'm going to know these people for the rest of my life. This is one of those times, whose lives are intertwined with Jewish history, the Holocaust, the founding of the State of Israel, current day politics, the eternal issues of theology, belief, unbelief, war and peace, and of course love and unrequited love, truth and falsehood, friendship, loyalty, and the intrigue of life and death. It's a very fascinating mystery, and come and find out about it next month. Until then, friends, as this new year, this new secular year begins, be good and do good, be sweet and be holy. Tune your awareness to oneness consciousness. For in oneness consciousness, you are sourced to strive for the recognition and the reality. One God, one world, one people, the power and the promise of Eden on earth once again. That's why we invite you this month and every month to come on the journey, join in the quest. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. This is Spirit Talk Live. Until next month, shalom, salam, peace, pax, happy new year.